The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has only had partial success in stopping fraudulent doctors and suppliers from signing up to receive payments. Billions of dollars are at stake. That's according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office. Two of CMS's screening procedures work well, but GAO found major weaknesses in two others. Sato Bogdoyan is director of the Forensic Audits and Investigative Service at GAO. He joins me now with more on the report. Sato, great to have you back.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me again.
You've had a busy summer so far.
Yes, I have indeed.
And so, first of all, the system we're talking about at Medicare and Medicaid is called PCOS. What is that and what does it do?
Yes, it's an acronym for the Provider Enrollment Chain and Ownership System. It essentially is the automated internal control for screening providers who sign up to provide Medicare services.
So it's not just physicians, but it could also be like medical retailers that sell the equipment they cover.
That's
and that
correct.
Kind of thing.
Right, exactly right.
And so there are, it sounds like from the report, there are four screens that mm-hmm. someone has to go through.
That's
what
right.
are those?
Yes. The first two, as you mentioned earlier, that are apparently working at least to a great extent are checking the death master file to make sure that deceased individuals are not enrolled and collecting claims payments. And then there's also another check against an excluded parties list that intends to exclude, as the name implies, people who have been barred for some reason from providing services to the government. Now, the two that we found some weaknesses with are the address checks and the licensure checks.
Okay, so the address check makes sure that they are a legitimate place of business, correct?
That's correct. That's exactly right. Things such as mailboxes, for example, vacant properties, or invalid addresses are not eligible.
And so the government knows what addresses are invalid or may have been torn down or are boxes, but somehow that information doesn't come into CMS?
Well, their software that flags address anomalies, I guess for lack of a better term, does not have the flags that would indicate whether an address is actually a rented mailbox, is a vacant property, or just simply invalid. That is, the Postal Service has no record of that address. And the software we use in-house at GAO has those flags. That's how we managed to identify those 23,000 or so addresses that looked potentially ineligible.
Yeah, what are those? So 23,400 addresses, these were people that were in the PICO system that CMS presumably thought were okay.
Yes, they thought they were okay, and we found them to be potentially ineligible. That was based on work we did on a sample, a projectable sample of 496 addresses that we did extensive months-long research on in-house again to figure that out.
You knew my next question. This was a projectable sample that we have now that so that we can say that with some confidence that maybe one out of five addresses in PCOS is no good.
Yeah, we're right about 95% confidence level. And for geeky statisticians, that's a pretty high level.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. So if I have a mailbox number and I can get it into the PCOS number, what can I do with it?
Well, you can ostensibly make claims against the government for providing services. And if you're under the radar, like some of these may be, then your chances of being caught diminish somewhat, let's say.
So in other words, if someone wanted to do this and they knew what forms are necessary to get Medicare or Medicaid payments back, they could mm-hmm. forge forms and send them in and ask for payment to that mailbox.
Right. Well, exactly right. Then that's, I'll refer you to our report. The summary page has a picture of a reported practice location that listed that little box where the arrow is pointing as a suite number rather than a rented mailbox and proceeded to bill the government for about $600,000.
I guess it could be a suite if you're a mouse.
Yeah,
you can live
I guess,
in there.
Right. Yes, yes.
And is there any indication to what extent those addresses are actually calling on PCOS for calling on CMS for payment?
Well, that's an excellent question. We didn't really have full insight to be specific in terms of the claims amounts, but again, based on a range of claims that we established, it could add up to several hundreds of millions of dollars if you weave through the quirks and nuances of statistical analysis. You can come up with a general number of dollars being at risk.
Because I press on the details here, because I get the sense that this idea of legitimate addresses is probably of concern to many, many federal agencies, not just CMS.
Right, because an address, obviously, for anyone who provides services to the government is one of the key data points that the government uses to pay claims, to enroll people, that sort of thing.
Because we've had cases in the past where, say, HUBZone companies turn out to be empty storefronts or buildings that were torn down, this kind of tenements that are unoccupied. And so that's a similar type of situation.
Yeah, it's the general proposition that you really need to nail the address tight, if you will. Otherwise, you can run into problems down the line.
We're speaking with Sato Bogdoyan. He's director of the Forensic Audits and Investigative Service at the Government Accountability Office. And the other thing that CMS has trouble nailing is whether a physician has a licensure issue or even a license.
That's correct, right. The numbers there were much smaller, but of course, anyone who's had licenses revoked or suspended for things such as felonies and other criminal activities, obviously important to get them out of the system. And again, the licensure checks that CMS undertook really focused on a state-specific level. Our analysis looked at the complete history of a provider's licensure experience. We looked at a database that talks about, or arrays rather, the licensure historical data for all states and all licenses, not just the Medicare-related license. So we were able to flag these individuals based on that extensive analysis.
Because licensure is pretty much a state issue, right? There's no federal clearinghouse for all of the state licensing of physicians.
That's correct. Yeah, you have to go state by state. And there is a federal state medical board database, which we subscribe to at a cost, on an annual cost. And that, again, as I mentioned earlier, has the complete history of a provider's licensure experience.
I'm surprised this didn't come up to CMS's own attention a long time ago, if they know the four things they have to check.
That was, I guess, part of the purpose of our report, was to bring these things to their attention and make recommendations to that effect.
And so what have you recommended?
Well, one of the things that we recommended was to incorporate the three flags that we had into the address database, and then to revise its guidance for those contractors who are tasked with verifying addresses, because in 2014, specifications were modified to require actually less verification than before, which we found to be a little troubling. And then we also recommended to CMS that it beef up its licensure information collection to have a more complete picture.
And I'm presuming they agreed with those recommendations.
They agreed with two of the three. They disagreed with the guidance recommendation, claiming that what they were trying to do was provide the contractors who verify the addresses with more flexibility. We found that to be at least questionable, because two of our locations that we found to be problematic had undergone a telephone verification by the contractor who was following the new guidance, and those turned out to be ineligible addresses.
So the contractor should really go check out the place to see if it at least looks legit.
If they have sufficient suspicion, rather than just picking up the phone and making a simple phone call. So, yeah.
So in the worst case scenario, I could be a non-doctor with a P.O. box and be getting money from the government for performing heart surgery.
Yeah, that is a speculative scenario, but it is a possibility. And then, you know, the verification from the contractor might just be a phone call calling you up and saying, is this your address? You say yes, and you're good to go.
Yeah, pardon me while I put down my scalpel, and I'll come back to the phone here. Well, we don't recommend doing this at home, but Sato Bogdoyan is director of the Forensic Audits and Investigative Service at the GAO. As always, thanks so much for filling us in.
Thanks.